soon as it gets up. My co-authors on this paper are John Folk and Gary Gamble from the Cotton Quality Lab in Clemson. They do the cotton quality measurements for me. I'm the dirt guy. I do it in the field. We've been interested in variability in fiber quality for a long time, and variability in fiber properties. Of course, the mills want long, strong, uniform cotton. And so one of the sources of variability, there's numerous sources of variability in the field, just different soil types give you different within field variability for fiber length, micronair, and the like. Weather, if you got a great big field, rain on one part of the field versus another part of the field can change the fiber properties within the field. I put management here to show you in this picture. This is a field under a center pivot where some nozzles were plugged up. And just management factors, managing his pivot, changed the cotton in this field. And we suspect there'd be different fiber properties for this cotton where it didn't get water versus the cotton on either side. And one of the things we've been looking at for a long time is within plant variability. Now there's numerous influences on within plant variability. When the APHIS machine became available to measure individual bolls and small number of fibers, there's been quite a bit of work done on that. But some of the influences, Judy Bredow back in 1997 showed that the variability within the plant up and down the plant can be changed due to whether it's irrigated or dry land cotton. Gail Davidonis just published a study a couple of years ago showing that when the cotton is planted, that cotton was planted in Corpus Christi, but when that was planted, when it's planted, changes the variability in fiber properties up and down the plant. And then Craig Bednarz just a couple of years ago, a year ago really, published differences in within plant variability due to plant density. We did some working with different zones within the plant, there it is, where we found that conservation tillage and conventional tillage changes where in the plant, or the range of fiber properties within the canopy, but that also in that study we found big differences in the range for a more productive soil and a soil that's more drought prone. So we wanted to follow that work up, and even with all that work, there's very little work done comparing genotypes. So our objective for this study was just to look at two genotypes, two cotton cultivars that differed in relative maturity for within canopy fiber properties. We did this study in 2004 and 2005. Our early season cultivar was Paymaster 1218, and our full season cultivar was 555. The experimental design was randomized complete block with four replicates, so we only had eight plots in this whole experiment. The plot size was 12 15-meter long rows. The way we got our samples, or within plant samples, was we put dated tags on every white bloom in a meter a row from early July through the middle of August every day for those 7 or 8 weeks. And then at the end of the season, we went out and harvested those bowls, recording the main stem node, the branch node, and the flowering date for those that the tags didn't fall off or that we missed and things like that. So we had an awful lot of samples. We didn't make any effort to harvest them as they opened. We tried to beat the rain. If it was going to rain, we went out and got all that was there, that was open. But we didn't make any effort to check them every day during the harvest season. Then the other thing we took in this study was soil moisture content. And we put four capacitance sensors four sets of capacitance sensors in the ground that measured soil water content every 15 minutes at four-inch depths, at four-inch intervals, down to a depth of 40 inches. And so we had this in two reps of each cultivar. Here's just a shot of the capacitance sensor in the ground in one of the rows, and there's the data logger that we used that collected all the data from the four sets of capacitance sensors. The data we collected in this study, we measured yield and HVI fiber properties from two rows that we went through with the picker. And then the individual bowl data we took were aphis fiber properties. And what I'm going to talk about today is length by weight, maturity and fineness, a little bit about that. And then Gary Gamble has been working the last few years with fiber surface chemistry. And in his work, he's finding that the amount of sugars or the glucose on the surface of the fibers can affect yarn strength. Now, we're not talking sticky cotton, not that much sugar, but the amount of sugars on the, as he explained to me, it's like it holds the fibers together to make a stronger yarn. And the other surface chemistry we measured was salt content, and he measured this through conductivity. But the salt content on the fibers, he thinks it reduces the interfiber friction when the fibers are going through the ring spinning, right? Okay. And that way you get fewer ends down when it's being spun, and you get more efficient spinning processes, and of course more efficient spinning is cheaper yarn. So conductivity is the salt content. And the way they measured this was they put the fibers into a beaker of water and measured the glucose and the conductivity of the water. Okay, here's the whole crop data from the study for yield and fiber properties. And one pretty interesting thing about this whole study was that basically we found no differences between these two cultivars in this study for yield or really any of the fiber properties. You know, the only significant difference we found was in 2004, where 1218 had higher mic than did 555. Otherwise, there was no significant differences on the whole crop. Almost significant here for length uniformity in 2005. The other interesting thing is that with these 2 years, yields and fiber properties are really quite similar of the whole crop. So we don't see a whole lot of difference between the years. Okay, looking more now at the individual bowls, this is simply the canopy distribution of first position bowls for the two cultivars. This green line is Paymaster 1218. The red line is Delta Pine 555. They're mapped against or plotted against main stem node down here. And with these first branch node bowls, you can see that 1218 is earlier because it put on or kept more bowls lower in the canopy than did 555. But 555 had more bowls out at the higher part of the canopy, both in 2004 and in 2005. And similar with the second position bowls, same thing, more bowls lower in the canopy with 1218 than with 555. Now, this is our soil water content data, and this is just for the top 16 inches of the soil profile. We didn't even pull a whole lot of water from 16 inches. This red line is the surface 4 inches. This green line is the 4 to 8 inch level. This is the 8 to 12 inch, the blue. And then the yellow is 12 to 16 inches. And you can see both years, this is 2004 on top, 2005, both years is really quite similar. And this is the water content just during July and August, during the flowering period. But we did get more rain here in 2004, kept soil water levels a little higher. 2005, we dried out the surface, pulled more water from the deeper depths, obviously, but we did get a little more drought stress. Interestingly, just about on the same day both years, I think this was like July 29th, we got 3 inches of rain both years. 2004, we got lots of tropical storms through the year, keeping August quite wet. And then we got quite a few storms actually in 2005 too. But this dry period in here versus more water here made a big differences in our within canopy differences that I'm going to talk about. This is the data averaged over all the node positions for first position nodes comparing 555 to 1218. Even though we didn't get differences in HVI fiber properties, for the aphis fiber properties, there was a difference for length, maturity, fineness, for both years between these two cultivars. 555 was longer, more mature, but finer than 1218 in both years. Now, interestingly, we also had more glucose. Our glucose levels were significantly higher, and salt content was significantly higher for 1218 and 555 both years. Again, that's averaged over all of the first position bowls. Now, the title of the talk was comparing these for within canopy fiber properties, these two cultivars, but a bowl that flowered at node 6, position 1 for 1218, flowered on the same day for 555. So basically, the bowls on the plants themselves saw the same weather. So we found very few interactions between genotype and main stem node for fiber properties. So the rest of the data I'm going to show you is going to be averaged over the two cultivars. Here's the fiber length and the fiber fineness data for 2004. Absolutely no variability up and down the plant in the year where we got plenty of rain and the plants didn't get stressed. A little variability out here for fiber fineness, but our standard errors are a little bigger, but we found really no difference between up and down the plant for first position bowls in 2004. 2005 was quite different, where we had the early season stress, the fibers were smaller or shorter, and a little bit coarser, but then fiber length increased as these bowls got that rain later in July and August, and fiber fineness went down. Similarly, with glucose and conductivity, lots of variability, but very little variability, or lots of variability at each data point, but very little ability up and down the plant for fiber glucose. Conductivity, some significant differences, but not much difference. When you compare that to 2005, where we had the drought, lots of environmental effect on fiber glucose and on fiber conductivity. Now, I haven't talked about the second position bowls, and I have to do that quickly. This is the data for fiber length that I showed you earlier. If we plot that by flowering date, this is the line we got. And if I overlay the second position bowls on the first position line, mapping by flower date, not too surprising that we saw the environmental effects on the first bowls were the same as the second bowls, and they went right over the top. The two lines overlap. This is fiber glucose, the same thing, a little bit lower here. Not as much variability on the second position bowls. And this is data from 2005. Not as much variability. But for for conductivity, the salt content, we did see quite a difference. Due to environmental effects. So to conclude, basically we found that within canopy fiber properties were basically similar between these two genotypes simply because they flowered at the same time at specific node positions. The genetic differences between these two cultivars did occur for fiber surface chemistry, and this little bit of preliminary evidence that we've collected suggests that environment also has an influence when the bowl is developing on sugar and salt content.
Okay, thank you, Phil. We've got time probably for one question.